This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. This is a WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
With us now in studio, we have Cliff Sharp and also Christy Sanford from Greenhouse Ministries. How are both of y'all doing today?
Very good. Beautiful, beautiful day.
It's warmed up quite a bit over the last few days. I've been surprised it's been as hot as it has, actually.
Yeah, yesterday was super hot.
It was. And from a morning that was like 60 degrees to 85, it's a big difference.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I do like the sunshine.
I do, too. So what's happening this time of year at Greenhouse?
All right. Well, this is a full time of year for us. We have two big events this year. This week, actually, National Day of Prayer is on Thursday, which is May 1st. And so we have two events that circle kind of around that. The first one is our Bible reading marathon coming up on April 30th. So on Wednesday morning, we will start around 9 o'clock, and then we will read all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and it will end on Sunday morning. So it's 96 hours straight. So that's the first big event we have coming up, and we still have some time slots available. We've got them in 15-minute increments. And it looks like, I think, around Saturday, Friday afternoon and Saturday, we've got some slots. And then, of course, the evenings, if you're brave and want to stay up all night, you can do that. We'll make sure we have snacks for you.
And for anybody who gets their days confused like I do, this is tomorrow, Wednesday.
It is. It starts tomorrow. Right. Today is Tuesday. It's true.
So the Bible reading marathon has been going on for how many years? And then also the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast and, you know, all of this stuff.
All the things.
Yeah.
The Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. That's going to be Thursday morning on National Day of Prayer. And we do have a handful of tickets left for that. The doors open at 6:30, and we try to get everybody out around 8. That way people can still get to work. But Dad could tell you much more about the history of that. Probably both of the history you can tell about both of those.
You know, the interesting thing, when Tommy Bragg became mayor, he had gone to the governor's prayer breakfast in Nashville. And so he was talking with Hunter McFarland. They were just basically said, you know, we could do something like that here in Murfreesboro. That would be really neat. So they approached us. We said, yeah, let's try it. And it worked very well. And we've been doing it now for, this is the 24th year. 22nd year.
Maybe 22nd, because we paused during COVID. Yeah.
But it's just a great opportunity for the community, believers in the community, to get together and pray. We pray just over specific areas in the community, and so it's in one sense it's low key, you know, in that that's all we're doing, but in my opinion it's very powerful. It's one of the things that makes our community good, is that we have lots of people praying, not just at this time, but I know there are several different groups that are celebrating the National Day of Prayer. And so it's just a great time to get together and, you know, just see everybody that gets up and gets out and around. And this year, Swanson's sponsored it, so we can come for $10 a piece. Just good buffet breakfast. You can't get that anywhere hardly now for $10.
Roughly 22 years, I guess, since the prayer breakfast has been going on. Rutherford County has grown by, I'm just going to guess, over 100,000 residents.
Oh, yeah.
So during that time frame, have you seen a difference in the backgrounds of faiths that started coming to the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast?
I don't think really. I think it's still just a big mixture. They may be, you know, Pentecostal sitting next to a Catholic or whatever. It really doesn't make any difference. You know, that's the big thing, is that we're all doing the same thing. And again, it just has always been very, very inspiring to me.
And then over those years, has there been one, two, three significant things that people seem to want to pray for every single year?
Now, what we do, we have 8 different areas, so they specifically pray for those 8 areas. Probably some of the most controversial that we've had had to do with abortion. They're, you know, praying about that. And so we had several people, and they said, you know, you can't do that, basically because it's they had the misconception that the mayors were putting it on. We're putting it on for the mayors. So it's really no problem at all.
Have you talked to folks outside of this area who hold mayor prayer breakfasts as well? And how did they do it versus how we do it here?
There are few. I do not know a lot of just local places that do this. Our first prayer we pray for is for the mayors. That's the main, you know, that's we're there, and then we just pray for the community. Most prayer breakfasts or prayer things like this will have a speaker of some sort. We have in the past, but we've just chosen not to do that.
No matter what background you are, what faith you are, I mean, I think most people would agree that those who are in leadership positions need prayer. They need guidance as well.
Agreed.
So what do you say to somebody new to our area asking, you know, what direction should I go in my daily prayer?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think just starting to pray. Doesn't even matter what for, just say, hey, I need some help, you know? Prayer doesn't have to be complicated. I think just keeping it simple and, you know, in my opinion, he already knows. So it's just a matter of coming to him. I think this is a good opportunity to even come and just see other people join in unity with other people. I know you asked a while ago about other groups. There is a national registry for events that are happening on National Day of Prayer. And you can type in National Day of Prayer like on Google or a search engine and see all the different things. There are several things happening. I think there's an event actually the night before here in town as well, and a few things during the day.
World outreaches.
But I do love it because it is a point of unity across the United States, being a National Day of Prayer. So back to your original question, I think just to start, just jump in and ask for help, and that's a great place. He usually responds.
Are we seeing fewer people come together, not in Murfreesboro, but outside of our boundaries, are we seeing fewer people come together for things like this?
I don't know. I kind of think that in the last few months, it may have gone the opposite way. I think you see a lot more things. You see sports figures, celebrities coming out saying, you know, proclaiming their faith. So I think we might have seen a little bit of turn in that. Who knows nationally? You know, we are in the buckle of the Bible Belt, so to say. But I think you do see a little bit more than we may have in the past.
I hate to say it, but sometimes it looks, you know, if you're on the outside looking in, it appears that there are these waves of faith that go through the nation. And
true.
When something bad happens, like September 11th as an
true.
Example,
true.
We saw this national movement leaning mm-hmm. towards prayer, and then we kind of got away from it as a society. But I don't know, how do you go about keeping that in the forefront?
Yeah, I think just being willing to talk about it. A point Dad mm-hmm. makes a lot is that, you know, it doesn't matter what denomination you attend. The core of it is you're still reaching out to God and asking for help. Just encouraging people to do that on their own. And we always say it's not about a check mark. It's about a relationship. Chasing a relationship is much better than chasing a check mark.
Definitely so. And then with the Bible reading marathon, for that, have you seen that grow over the years?
I think back and forth, I think is what we would say. We've done it a lot of different locations. And since we have built the new building on Academy, we've done it at that location. I think we've seen more groups come and participate. Before, it was just mostly individuals. And now we have more groups that come, small groups or families that come and read together. And it's a lot of fun. It's something else that's unifying because it doesn't matter what language, what version you read. We just want to read through the Bible.
And do you have some read in other languages?
We did last year. I think we had three languages.
Yeah, we've had over the past just lots of different languages. There's always Spanish that do. And actually, last year we had a lady that came to Greenhouse for help. And she wanted to know what we were doing, and we told her, and she wanted to know if she could read. And she said, but I don't read English very good. I said, well, I've got a Spanish Bible here. And so I gave her that Spanish Bible, and she went out and read for us for a 15-minute segment.
Have you ever seen something that you didn't expect to occur at the Bible reading marathon, maybe at night, maybe early in the morning hours, but have you been surprised by something that has occurred during the reading?
There's nearly always some homeless people that will come there. And of course, we're having coffee. We have got coffee and donuts there, and nearly always they want to read too. Mm-hmm.
That's
so
interesting.
It's really neat. And I know year before last, there was a fellow that was there, and he came every night. Very articulate group, very good reader, and it was great to have him there helping out. Because I know I have usually taken Friday night from midnight till 6 in the morning, and he was there that night, but he had been at the other nights too. So we have, you know, it's especially like at night that we have a lot of people that come in and they'll just sit around and listen, and then again pretty soon they'll say, yeah, I believe I'll read.
Sometimes when people hear things, they comprehend it better, and then you got those who comprehend better when they read it themselves.
Right.
But when you're listening, I do know that sometimes people may take it a different way just because of your tone, and it may be accepted by them, and they may have a better understanding of it.
And that's right. And you know, like we talked recently, just because somebody's poor does not mean they don't have a good, strong faith. And so a lot of those homeless people, they have a strong faith because they're depending on God to take care of them.
Yeah.
And they may not do things the way we think they ought to, but we don't want to think that they're inferior in a sense spiritually simply because they're poor.
We talked about this on the air just a few days back, it seems like, but those who sometimes look like they don't have it together, they may have that appearance that they don't know right from wrong or left from right. Like you said, those are sometimes the people who have much stronger faith, and they may be barely holding it together themselves, but it's usually because they have gone through some type of significant struggle or trauma, and they're just trying to make it through to the other side.
And this is what we get to do at Greenhouse. We get to visit with them, talk to them, see how we can encourage them in their faith, as well as just encourage them in their life.
Have you taken a step back before, kind of just out of surprise, when somebody comes to you at Greenhouse and they says, I've got such and such going on in my life, but you never, just from the outside looking in, you never expected to hear whatever it was they said?
Mm-hmm. I think that happens a lot. One of the things we love to do is help people navigate what we call the hidden rules. So you have somebody who maybe has, you know, you have your poverty, your middle, and your wealth class. Maybe somebody who's been in one of the other classes, and they're trying to navigate to another one. You know, someone who's in wealth and maybe a domestic violence or a crazy health thing, and they're thrown into another class. They have no idea how to navigate. Or maybe you've got a young man who's in poverty, single mom, and is going to go play professional football. Well, all of a sudden they're thrown into another class. Helping people navigate, you know, we don't know what their story is. And everybody has their own story, which is the part that I love, finding out what that story is. But I think helping people navigate that is truly the heart of what we want to do at Greenhouse. And so we do see that a lot. We're like, wow, I would not have known that. And so just to say, okay, let's talk about the steps.
And you've seen these, you know, you've seen folks, they are heading down one path, but then all of a sudden they're thrown who knows what, and they're headed down another path in a matter of a second. But that does happen on a regular basis, I'd say, in a lot of lives. We just don't realize it.
Absolutely. You know, something catastrophic happens and it changes your life forever. And so we see that happen all the time. And to them, it's huge and big. To us, it may not be big, but it did change the way their life is going to look from now on. And so I think that is what a lot of we see coming in as our walk-ins, you know, and we get to visit with them and just see, you know, let's set this chaos aside for just even 2 minutes, and let's see what we can do about a next step.
And I was visiting with a lady on Friday, and she had been a truck driver, and she loved driving trucks. She said, you know, she said, I love to travel. So she, but she had developed cancer and was not able to drive anymore. And so now she was making very good money. So now she's on disability and trying to stretch her dollar and her food and whatever. You know, just being able to visit with her and encourage her. And I asked her, I said, well, what are you doing with your time now? And she said, Well, that's a problem. I said, well, we always have a place for you to come down and volunteer here. So she kind of brightened up. She said, and I told her when we had a volunteer orientation, she said, well, I'll try to be there next time. So, you know, you just never know. But this might be just something that can really give her a boost in her life.
You know, I know we only have just like 2 or 3 minutes left, but how important would you say that it is if somebody, for somebody listening this morning, if they see somebody who looks different than they do, or maybe they look like they're having a hard time, is it important to go up to that person and just say something, but you don't know what it is?
I 100% agree that yes, you should say something. You can always ask questions. And they can respond how they want. But asking a question, my family teases me. I always have like 10 questions in my head because I want to know. I love people's stories. And so, are you from Murfreesboro? You know, what brought you here? All the things. And they don't have anything to do with a lifestyle or anything like that. It's just getting a conversation started. And so sometimes once the initiation is made, then they will share if they want. If not, then you're like, okay, have an amazing day. It's great to meet you, and keep going. But I think making a step is always the most important thing.
Should we drop that fear of, well, I'm going to embarrass myself. I don't know what they're going to say.
Absolutely. I mean, what's the worst they can say is just turn or say not interested. I mean, it's fine. That's on us. You know what I mean? On us. If we're unwilling to make the first step, I don't want to look back later and say I missed an opportunity. So for me, I'm always going to say something.
And again, the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, that's on Thursday, and the Bible Reading Marathon starts tomorrow, Wednesday.
Absolutely. All can be found on our website, greenhousemen.org, Greenhouse Ministries. So the MIN, greenhousemen.org. And we got two big buttons in the middle, and they can push those buttons and choose whichever one, and they can sign up to read or come to the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast.
So again, not too late to sign up for either one
of the
two.
Not at all.
No.
Okay, so
jump on in.
Greenhouse Men, that's MIN.org. That's where you should go, and you can get all the details for it.
Absolutely.
Right. And once more, what time does the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast start on Thursday?
Early. 6:30. The door's open.
6:30 a.m.
We'll have coffee ready.
And where's that going to be?
It's at the MTSU Ballroom. I think it's Union Ballroom. You're asking me a question. I don't know. That's terrible.
Somewhere I know where it is. It's on the back side.
MTSU.
Follow the cars.
That's right.
There'll be some event flags out. How about that?
Perfect. Again, Cliff Sharp and Christy Sanford with us this morning from Greenhouse Ministries. We appreciate both of y'all joining us.
Our pleasure.
Always our pleasure, Scott.
And again, if anybody has any questions, just visit greenhousemen.org, and you can either get the phone number for Greenhouse or find the answer on the website.
Or come by and talk to us.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Right now, that time, 8:59. Stay with us. We have news coming your way next.